This is Edwin O'Shea. We're going to talk about the second half of section 2.5. The focus here is just on so-called logarithmic differentiation. Go to examples 4 and 5 and focus on those two readings. Let's look at example 4. Notice that this function here that's presented, you could find its derivative by taking a quotient rule. Notice that you have one function divided by another, and then if you go ahead and do that, you'll see the quotient rule actually gets really, really messy. So what's the solution instead? Well, it proposes starting off with setting y equal to f of x, and then taking the natural log of both sides. Now notice now what it's doing next. You have the natural log of a quotient, and the natural log of a quotient is equal to the difference of the natural logs, namely the natural log of the numerator minus the natural log of the denominator. Now next notice that the numerator is a product of two terms, so the natural log of that numerator is the sum of the natural logs of the products of those two terms. And all you're doing is really just taking advantage of the algebra that's built in with the natural log. Remember, the great theme of the natural log is that it subjugates powers. So one thing, if you say look in the third line at the term x squared minus 1 to the 5, well, the natural log of that is going to be 5 times the natural log of just the x squared minus 1. And now all you're left with, after, you know, going on to the fifth line, in the fourth line you have a simplified expression for the natural log of y, and now in the fifth line you take the derivative of both sides with respect to x. Notice that terms like the natural log of x, it's very easy to take its derivative. It's just 1 over x. Likewise for the natural log of x squared minus 1, it's 1 over x squared minus 1 times the derivative of x squared minus 1, which is of course 2x. And on you proceed to go. And notice it's not all the notice that on the left-hand side, on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th line, on the left-hand side, you've 1 over y times dy dx, or what the book here is calling y prime. So, of course, y is just your original function, so you get to write dy dx, or y prime, in terms of y, which is the original function, plus this very simple sum of rational functions. And that's it. It gives you a really nice way of writing the derivative of a complicated function. Now, of course, you might look at that. You might look at that example 4 and say, well, I could have just done that anyway if I worked hard enough with the quotient rule. Well, my suggestion is to go ahead and try doing it using the quotient rule, and it will take you a long time. But you should do it, if only to be convinced of the use of the natural log. Now, moving on next to example 5. Now, this is a very interesting example because you want to find the derivative of a polynomial raised to a power, but that power is also a function. So, even if you wanted to use quotient rule, product rule, chain rule here, you wouldn't be able to use it because this function is neither an exponential function or a polynomial or just a composition, right? It's so what you could do again is that you could set y equal to the function and take the natural log of both sides. Notice going from the second line to the third line, you have the natural log of x squared minus 3 raised to the x, but because you have a natural log, you can move that x that's in the exponent down outside of the natural log. So now all of a sudden you have the natural log of y is x times the natural log of some other function. And now that's just going to be a product rule. And so hence here you're using the product rule, and indeed you get the derivative of the function. All right. So the exercises for tonight's homework are just going to be like that, looking at exercises 49 through 58. Note that 49 through 52 you could have done just using the, you know, just using product our quotient rules, but using the natural log it'll be much easier. Notice that 53 through 58 you really do need to use this logarithmic differentiation to make that work. And then the final part of the homework is 59 through 63, and what it's doing is that it's giving you a function, it's claiming that it's the derivative of that function, and it's asking you to work backwards to see if you could figure out the function from which this derivative came from. So that's kind of a nice thing to think about. I'm trying to see if there's examples on that, not that I could find. But anyway, you can enjoy thinking about that. Good luck and enjoy the reading.